Heavenly Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you for just the mercy and the grace that you pour out to us. Lord, your undeserved favor. We just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're continuously bringing things our way to purify us, to wipe away the things of this old life. We thank you, Lord, that you are an all-consuming fire, that you consume away all those things that are not pleasing to you, so that we may stand before you glorified. We pray, Father, that on this journey, that we would be willing participants and not having to be dragged kicking and screaming. Father, I pray that we would be in agreement with your word as it shows us those things that you love and those things that you hate. And we pray, Father, that we would be obedient to those things that you bring to our attention as we study your word, as we look into your word to just find out more about you. And we pray, Father, as we go through the Psalms, that you would just show us, Lord, the neat and precious promises that are in there, those things that Jesus fulfilled while he was here, and those things that are yet to be fulfilled, the things that we look forward to, your kingdom to come. So, Father, I pray your Spirit would be poured out to us, that we would be understanding of those things that we read, and Lord, we would be hungry for more. As we skim the surface on these nights, Lord, in our private time, I pray that we would just get into the Word and just devour it and feast on what you have for us. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you, and we pray that this time would be a blessing to us as well as to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our Bibles to Proverbs 44. Psalms, what did I say, Proverbs 44? Yeah. Singing of the... There is no Proverbs 44. Just want to see if you were on your toes, okay? What kind of Bible is you got there? Yeah. Psalm 44. That's right. Yeah. Last week we looked at 42 and 43, how, you know, the whole aspect of it, why are you cast down, O my soul? You know, when we look around at the things that are, you know, that are happening in our world, it's heartbreaking to see, you know, what things are there for our grandkids. You know, we see the little ones growing up. What kind of a world is it going to be when they grow up? I mean, how crazy it is today, and you just wonder, man, what's it going to be like tomorrow? But, you know, I kind of like history, and as I studied history, and I go through these different changes that happen in societies, I noticed that kingdoms rise, and they're here for a little while, and then they fall. And then they're remembered no more. And it's going to be cyclic, just like that. I mean, it's going to continue on. There is the prophecies in the Bible, in the book of the Revelation, as we've looked at, there are going to be 10 kings that rise up in the end times that are going to give their power to this one world ruler. And the reason I bring this up is because there's this big flutter going on again about this RFID chip. You know, I mean, everybody's talking about having this chip implanted in you, and they're calling it the mark of the beast, and you know. I want to tell you folks, just, you know, and this is my opinion, and you can take it for what it's worth. Logically, you can't have a mark of the beast until you have a beast. Okay? So, when that world ruler finally arrives on the scene, many, many days from now, notice we won't be here. So if you see 10 kingdoms coming to power, then you might get a little bit of concern. I would be a little concerned at that, because they're the ones that hand over their power to this world ruler, also known as the beast. And it's in the middle of this rule, this 7-year rule that he's going to have, that he's going to introduce this mark. So, folks, you know, anybody that's, you know, getting on this hobby horse, just relax, chill. You know, we're not looking for the beast to come, we're looking for the Lord to come. So, don't let your soul get cast down because of the things that you see coming upon the earth. Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear that of things that are coming upon the earth, the Lord tells us in Matthew 24. Man, they're going to have heart attacks. I mean, the things that they're going to be seeing is going to be so outrageous, it's going to stop their heart. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anything that, if anybody's witnessed horrific auto accident, you know what it's like to have your heart stop. I mean, it's just like, you know, you got to remind yourself, hey, I got to breathe here, you know. I mean, because of what you've seen is just so fantastic. Man, there's going to be things that are going to be happening that's going to just blow people away. And as you look in the book of the Revelation, you see, man, there's things going on in there that I don't want to see. These hole that opens up from the bottomless pit and these things that come out that are like locusts. And they sting men and they're able to hurt men for 5 months. And people won't die after they've been stung by these things. They're writhing on the ground for 5 months. Death takes a holiday for 5 months. I mean, it's going to be a time of a tribulation such has not been seen since the world began, nor ever shall be after this. But in Psalm 44, we go from, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, to, we have heard with our ears. Now, we got to stop there. You know, as my style is, we got to just kind of dissect these things because it's just there's just so much here, and it's not because we eat a lot that I call us Calorie Chapel, but it's because of the things that we need to dissect in the Word. The Word is just chock full of neat things that you can just chew on and just kind of, wow, yeah, this is good stuff. We have heard with our ears, and I think that, you know, for many of us, what's the first thing that came to mind? Faith comes by, and hearing by. We have heard with our ears, O God. And so, and that's how we encourage one another. We encourage one another to continue on in the Lord with our mouths. We speak words. We speak the holy word of God, and it encourages us. It lifts us up. I love to go on social media and see nothing but scriptures being posted. Because I get so lifted up, and people are, man, I just, and if I forget to like any of your guys' posts, it's not because, it's just that I'm just so enamored with what you're posting there. I forgive you for the versions that you use. I'm kidding. But, I mean, I just get so encouraged, and I get lifted up, because there's, you know, after your post, there comes something, what is this? You know, I mean, this is just going to bring you down. Unfriend that, you know, because I like the scriptures coming out there. I mean, it's just random scriptures, but they mean so much to me, you know, and it's just kind of neat. So we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. Now, this is passing on from generation to generation. What I believe is being passed down to my kids and what my fathers believed, etc., etc. And we always go back into the times of when the children of Israel were pulled out of Egypt. Now, I say pulled out of Egypt. They were delivered, but they were pulled out of Egypt. Remember what they said? They said, man, are there not enough graves in the wilderness? Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt that you pull us out here to die? Why did you bring us out here? To kill us? I mean, this was what they saw the salvation of the Lord as being. Now, I had prayed earlier about, you know, not going along with the Lord kicking and screaming, but being a willing participant. And so often we do the same thing. Oh, Lord, you've delivered me from sin. That's great. But now you want to change me? I'm not really happy with that. I don't want to do that. Leave me as I am. I'm cool with this. You know? You saved my soul, that's great, but yeah, that changing thing, that's going to hurt. That's going to cause pain. That's going to cause anguish. I may lose some things in the way. Being so short-sighted that we don't see what we gain out of it. And as a Sunday, as I said, there's two aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, He is our Savior. No doubt about it. He has to be our Savior to have any kind of a relationship. But He's also our Lord. And why would He say in the Gospels, He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I command you? You see, Lord means master. Lord means having authority over. And when we bow down ourselves and accept the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, He becomes our Lord. And now He's trying to get us to be obedient to the Word. Why? Because it's in our best interest to do so. We read about it, and we obey it. Now, some of these things that we read about, they're a little tough to swallow. And the Lord knows this. And so what he does is he brings to our minds other scriptures that, you know, bolster up what we've read before, those things that are tough. He allows us to see the wisdom in being obedient to it. When you are, you know, in your front yard there and your kids were younger perhaps and all is well, and all of a sudden the ball darts out into the street and the kid goes after it and you say, stop. You yell at the kid to stop and he stops because he heard your voice. He was obedient because you saw the car that was coming down the street. Now, if he didn't stop, boom, you know, you can see, you can play it over in your mind what would happen if you weren't obedient to your father's voice or your mother's voice in that particular time. Tragedy would happen. And that's the same thing with the Lord is. He's looking ahead to that time where he's going to hand out rewards, where we're going to sit and give an account for our lives. And the Lord is going to, you know, set us down and he's going to review our lives. And all of those things that were done in the Spirit, the things that we were obedient about, we're going to be rewarded for. The gold, silver, and precious jewels, these are the things that are done by the Spirit of God, by the will of God. But the wood, hay, and stubble, those things that are going to get burned up, well, those are the things that we did in the flesh. These are the things that the times that we squandered in our lives, taking care of ourselves, if you will, and not trusting in the Lord. And those times are many, we know that, but it takes time. The Lord doesn't expect overnight for you to trust him wholly. And so he works with us. And he brings us around. And he'll bring a scripture to mind. And we'll say, man, Lord, this is a tough one. Remember, even the disciple says, this is a tough saying. Who can hear it? And then some of them departed and didn't walk with the Lord. And he turns to his disciples and says, will you walk away too? And the caveat that they had, the saving grace that they had is, you have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? And that's the true believer today. You see, there are going to be tough sayings, but it's not that we just reject the whole thing because we don't understand one thing. We continue on. Okay, well, we'll put that one aside right now. I'm not quite getting this, and then the Lord will explain it to us, whether it be by a sermon we hear on the radio or in church, or maybe a brother or sister will share something, and the Holy Spirit will just turn the light on. That's what that's about. I get it now. I see the wisdom in that. Oh, Lord, thank you for being so patient. Thank you for being so kind. So if you want to know what the fathers told us, well, we go back into the Old Testament and we see how the Lord worked. How the Lord worked with Abraham. How the Lord worked with Moses. How the Lord worked with David and the kings and the prophets and things like that. And he mentions more often than not the times of the Exodus. And the times of the going into the land. How thou didst drive out, verse 2. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. Now we know as we've gone through there that the Lord sent in lions. He sent in wild animals to keep those folks, to get those folks out. He sent the hornet in. Now this is a battle plan that we could never have conceived of, nor carried out even if we could have conceived of it. But here's what the Lord did. Now, I want you to notice the way that this is being spoken of here. You know, he has done the work. Not they did, not the children of Israel. It was the Lord that did the work. It was the Lord that put in their minds the fear. Remember what Rahab had said to the spies in Jericho. The two spies went into Jericho there, and Rahab put them up, and she just told him, man, you can't believe the fear that has overcome my people. I mean, they're so afraid of you, they don't know what to do. And you think about how when they marched around the city of Jericho once every day for 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th day, you know, what was that all about? Not one person threw a rock over or shot an arrow down. They were so afraid, they were frozen with fear. And the Lord had done that. And it was all because of the fear of the Lord, because they had heard, they had heard what happened to the kings in the wilderness. They heard about what happened in Egypt. They had heard about all of the plagues that had happened, and they were scared. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. So it was the Lord that did these things. Now, he uses human instruments from time to time. And we look at the conquest of the land, and, And the only time that we really hear about any losses on the Israeli side is when they decided to go on their own to Ai. They didn't seek the counsel of the Lord, and they lost, I think, 16 people in that little skirmish. But then after that, you never hear of how many people the Israelis lost. You always hear about the tallies of the enemy and how much they lost, but not the Israelis. I find that to be fascinating. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hate us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. So we just think about those things. Wow. It's the Lord that's doing all of these things. We call upon the name of the Lord, and he saves us. You know, and I wish people today would just read these Psalms, and that they would take them to heart, and they would believe them. And that's the problem. You know, we think that, oh, here is a cause here. This is a horrible thing that's going on here, and you can pick your cause. This is a horrible cause, and we need to get in there, and we need to fight. And we need to carry placards, and we need to yell and scream, and we need to do all of these things. But what does it say here? Through the Lord, he's going to push down our enemies. The Lord is going to do it. Did the children of Israel have anything whatsoever to do with the pulling down of the walls of Jericho? No, it was the Lord that did it. They fell down flat. Some people interpret it, they fell into the ground. So that Rahab's house that was on the wall was now a basement apartment because it was underneath the ground. The walls had just fallen down flat because it says that every man went straight on. There was nothing to obstruct him. So they just went right through and were able to take the city. Amazing. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Now, a lot of people today, they get a little downcast. Sometimes they get a little, you know, antsy because people, when they see things like the earthquake in California, or they see tsunamis coming and killing many people, and earthquakes and volcanoes and all of these things that are happening, acts of God, as it were. And they say, well, where is your God in all of this? Oh, he's working. He's still working. He's called some people home. During those instances. He's also put a warning out there that death is imminent. Death is coming. It's coming for every man, and we need to be aware of this. Sometimes we get so complacent because everything is going so well in our lives. Is everything going well in everybody's life today? Praise God. I'm glad to hear that. Nobody raised their hand, though. But I'm kind of projecting that out there. I'm thinking, yeah, I can see how everything is working out well. There's no troubles in your life. And when we do that, when we get there, we fail to realize that, man, there is an end of this life that's coming. We put it off. We forestall it. And I think about, you read on the news how a 5-year-old kid died of cancer. Never going to be able to grow old and do things. You know, we see little ones and we think, oh, what a bright future they're going to have. But we don't know how long they have. Is it going to be 5 days? 5 years? We don't know. How long do we have? 60 years? 70 years? 80 years? I'm coming down to the end of that. So death is coming. And we need to live our lives because we're going to make that transition into the next world. We need to be preparing our soul for what comes next. And that's what we do here. We boast in God all the day long. We trust in him at every turn. Every ill thing that comes our way is another attempt to be able to trust the Lord in these things. And the worse that we think it is, the more reward it's going to be for us to trust him in it. I mean, it's an opportunity for us to trust God, even though we don't know what the outcome is. We don't even know why these things are happening. Remember Job? Job had no clue why these things were happening, but they were a test for him. because he was boasting on Job. Have you noticed my servant? You know, you could put your name in there. We'll just draw a line there and put your name. Have you noticed my servant, Cindy? How she hates evil. She does. And the enemy has now targeted that person that the Lord loves for special treatment. What happened to Job? He lost everything, but he still trusted in the Lord. What an example it is for us. And this part of the psalm is nice because it just praises God to no end. But now we're coming into that portion of this psalm here where the mood is kind of changing a little bit. You know, the mood was always there, but we just didn't know about it. We went with what the psalmist was saying on the onset. The onset was, man, we're going to praise God because of what we have heard, because of what we have seen, because of what we've been through. Here, man, we got it. We got it going on. But thou hast cast us off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn our back from the enemy. And they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and the avenger. All this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way, though thou hast sore broken us in the places of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. Hard times are coming upon. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on. And we look at ourselves, we examine ourselves to see, okay, why is this happening to me? Is it because of my sin? Is it because of my sin that I'm being afflicted? That I got this diagnosis of whatever it is, you know, whatever medical condition we seem to have these days, cancer, Ebola, whatever it is. Is it because of my sin? And that's the first thing that we as believers go to. What's happening in our country? Is it because we have sinned that these things are happening? Well, remember, during David's time, during the time of the psalmist, you know, all kinds of things were going on, all kinds of political ramifications. David was having problems in his own household. His kids were rising up to take his throne. So it wasn't just a matter of his sin. God forgives our sin. But sometimes these things happen so that we, as believers, have an opportunity to give praise unto God in these circumstances. These are tough circumstances. When we see our country going downhill in the way that it's going, and we can see that, hey, at any time we can be overrun by the enemy, and our country could be no more. Are we more fearful because we'll be losing all of the freedoms that our government has given us rather than the lives of people that, you know, will die without Christ? You know, which is it? Is it you weigh it in your own balance. Oh, I'm kind of comfortable in this life. This is the greatest country on earth, man. We have all of these freedoms. But let me tell you, these freedoms are more like chains because they keep us from the Word of God. We have so much entertainment these days. We carry our entertainment with us. We can watch movies. We can watch videos. We can do whatever we want right in the palm of our hands. And it's distracting us. It's keeping us from a meaningful relationship with God because we can, oh, well, you know what? Kind of tired. Let me watch this video here. And 2 hours later, we're still watching the video before we're, you know, we'll watch 5 minutes of TV and we'll go to sleep. Huh. But we're so distracted from the Word of God. And folks, that's what it's about. It's about anything that will keep you from thinking about the Lord. Your favorite TV program, your favorite commercial, whatever it is. Your favorite song on the radio. Whatever it is, it's to keep you for 1 millisecond. Keeping you from thinking about the Lord and keeping you away from the one that bought you. So now he's making an internal He's going to go through this internal list. Okay, so, all right, if we have forgotten the name of our God, well, what is the name of our God? Jesus Christ. Jehovah is salvation. That is the name that, hey, we haven't forgotten that. Okay, so that's check one. That's good. We haven't done that. Have we stretched out our hands to a strange God? Well, that may be a little bit more difficult to ascertain. We'd have to make a full disclosure of the things that we've done in our lives. And we'd have to weigh them out and say, have we stretched out our hands? Have we put our trust into something else rather than our God? Something that's another thing. And he says in here, shall not God search this out? Now, those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ know that when we are straying away, the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us. Because that's his job. The Holy Spirit convicts us and says, hey, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to turn around. You need to go back toward the Lord, back into the Word. Because the Word is what's going to tell you of righteousness and truth. Everything else is not. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Very, you know, I mean, this sometimes, you know, as we go through all, man, I tell you what, the thoughts that I've had in my heart today, Lord, you know, I just got to lift them up to you. I got to get these forgiven because this was definitely not you. You know, definitely not. You know, even though I didn't partake in any of these things, did I find pleasure in what had happened to somebody? You know, somebody that got, you know, this road rage case. You know, which side were you rooting for? You know, I mean, the whole aspect of, you know, somebody taking a gun out and shooting somebody because they got cut off. One of my favorite pet peeves, you know. Not that I would ever do that. That's why I don't carry firearms, you know, because you know, there but for the grace of God go I. You know, would be caught up in something like that in the spur of the moment when your emotions are running so high. You know, you shoot somebody because they cut you off. Really? Man, think about it. You go through the secrets of your heart. What is in your heart that would cause you to do that? This is what the Lord wants to dredge out. These are the places that the Lord wants to drill into and say, this is not pleasing to me. Your hard heart is not pleasing to me. The hatred that you've buried deep in there, that root of bitterness, it needs to go. And the only way that it can be done is by the washing of the water by the Word, believing what the Lord has said. He's going to convict you of these things. We confess them as sin. And when they start to creep into our lives again, we take note of it. We're being like God. We're looking and we're searching our own self first to get these things out. And then the Lord shows us more and more. Our God is a consuming fire. He wants to pull away all of those things that are going to keep you from a fruitful life in Him. Things that are keeping you from a successful walk. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And I'm mindful of this because I think about this because the Lord says, if you want to follow after me, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me. Now, this isn't just a one-time deal. You know, we saw that the Lord went to the cross and that for him that was a one-time deal. But for us, it's a moment-by-moment decision. Are we going to follow after the Lord or not? And when we follow after the Lord, we die to ourselves. And so for thy sake, we are killed all the day long because moment by moment, we are reflecting and saying, I want to follow after the Lord. Not what my flesh wants, but what my spirit wants. I want to follow after the Lord. I don't want to be like the disciples that were sleeping, where the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. I want that flesh to be dead, not to be pulling me away from the Lord. You see? So we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But it also says in the scriptures, it says precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And it's not the one-time deal where you transition into his throne room. No, it's that moment-by-moment decision when you decide to die to yourself. This is what's precious in his sight. And he's taking careful note of those things. So when you give an account for your life, man, he's just going to wrap his arms around you. Look at all of the times that you died to yourself so that I might work through you. Or I might work in you. You see? This is what he's really at, and he knows that's what's going to be happening, and he can't wait for that to happen. You realize that? That God can't wait to wrap his arms around you. As much as we like to see him, he 1,000 times more wants us to see him face to face so that he can wrap his arms around us. Man, what a day that's going to be. Awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. So we start with the hearing, and it ends with the mercy. The mercy of God poured out, the unmerited favor. Unearned. There's no way we can earn this, and yet God pours it out. Now, sometimes he's silent. He's quiet. He wants us to make those decisions for him. And as we pray and as we're facing these hard times, the Lord sometimes is quiet. But he's never far away. He's not forgotten us. But he wants us to realize what we want. He wants us to be willing participants. Not because, oh, well, if I don't, then the Lord's going to squish me. He's got his smite button on his computer, and he's like, oh, there he goes. Smite. You know, the holy thumb coming down and squishing you like a bug. No. He wants us to be willing participants. He wants us to want these things. And the only way that we can want these things is to compare the two. You see, we have to have free will. We have to have the ability to say no, and we have to have the ability to say yes. That's what separates us from every other animal on this planet, is that we have free will. We are cognizant of what it is that we're doing. We can choose evil, or we can choose good. It's us. It's up to us. And as we desire the Lord, we're going to be prone to those things that the Lord loves. What does the Lord love? What does the Lord hate? The Word tells us. And if you're not familiar with what the Lord loves, find out in the Word. The Word tells us what the Lord loves and what the Lord hates. In Psalm 45, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Now this is this psalm here is kind of like the the relationship between Christ and his church. Okay, if you read this, you can compare this, or this would be a nice companion to the Song of Solomon, the same kind of a thing. So, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever and ever. So, just the whole aspect of grace is being poured out. What is grace? Grace is the power of God. Grace is the Holy Spirit that gives us life. The grace is, man, this awesome power. You see, when we are become children of God, we have received the power to become the children of God. That moment by moment transformation as we lay down our lives. Man, we're able to become the sons of God because this is what we want. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So whatever the Lord wants to do in our lives, man, these things are being recorded. And it's going to be a testimony. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O Most High, with the glory in thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. Thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things or awesome things. Now we can see in here that what is the Lord about? The Lord is about truth. Veritas. Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Meekness. Now what was meekness? We saw that Jesus was meek. We saw that Moses was meek. Moses was one of the meekest men in the world, as the Bible says. There was nobody as meek as Moses was. But meekness isn't weakness. It isn't being milquetoast. It's not being, you know, a coward or cowering in a corner. Meekness is power under control. Having all of this power. When Jesus knew that he had all power, when he had received all power from the Father, as it says in John, he stripped himself and girded a towel and washed the disciples' feet. This was meekness. Man, do you think the people today that have power are going to wash somebody's feet? No. Man, they're going to get up and they're going to start doing commands. They're going to say, you do this, you do that, and you do the other. They're going to start ruling. This is what they were all about. This is what power is. Power is having the resources to be able to command people and to, you know, get situations done according to your will. That's what power in the world is, but in power in God's kingdom is being meek. Having the Son of God dwelling in your hearts. Having all of that power in this form. That's meekness. Knowing that you have all power residing inside you. That's what meekness is all about. And righteousness. This is what God wants. He wants his people to walk in righteousness. Righteousness, oh God, is the scepter of his throne. It's the stalwart mark. It's when you think about God, you think about righteousness. And that's what it's about. Being in a right standing with God. Because you don't want to be in the wrong standing with the Lord. It's not a good place to be. And as we are having fellowship with the Lord, his right hand shall teach us awesome things. Awesome things. How? Out of his word. We're going to be able to understand the things that he has hidden there for his people that come and look for these things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, a lot of folks say that there's no scriptures that say that Jesus is God. Well, here's one right here. Psalm 2 was another. You know, when Thomas had declared, my Lord and my God, when he, you know, was asked to put his finger in the Lord's hands and his hand in his side. You know, there are a myriad of scriptures that say that Jesus is equal with God, that Jesus was God. In John's gospel, it talks about the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, I mean, there's countless of them. So, you know, what you might want to do is take a little notebook or something and jot down all of these scriptures. And so when people come to say, well, the Lord never, you know, said that he was God. Well, that's not true. It's right here. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. Now, can't go by these and just leave these as it is there. The smell of myrrh, if you remember that the wise men brought gifts to the Lord, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense was an incense, and the gold, well, obviously, was gold. But the myrrh, you see, these gifts had significance to the ministry of the Lord. The gold represented his deity, that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The frankincense was the incense of the priesthood. He was also our high priest, as Hebrews says. But the myrrh is an embalming fluid. It's what they anointed the bodies with after death, to stop the putrefaction so that they could be buried. And usually they've got, if the saying goes that if a Hebrew dies before sundown, he was to be buried before the sun went down. And vice versa, if he died at night, he was to be buried before the sun rose again. So it was a very short period of time when these things happened. And it was kind of like Joseph of Arimathea offered up his grave so that Jesus could be buried. You know, this was something that he had to plan to do. I mean, he was wealthy, and so it had to be dug out of a rock. And they asked him, he said, well, how could you do that? And he says, well, it's only for the weekend, so that's cool. Okay, never. So myrrh was the embalming fluid. It was the smell of death, if you will. Aloes was the smell of healing. Is what they used to make balm out of to heal wounds. And the acacia, the sign of something that was alive, and kind of symbolizing the thorns, you know, the curse, if you will. So out of the ivory palaces, thereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. And that queen would be the church. If the king is the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, then the queen would be the church. And it's symbolizing, if you will, or looking forward to the millennial kingdom. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. In other words, we have to relinquish our hold upon this world to be able to fully grasp the next. The more we keep our foot in our hands in this world, the less attractive the world to come is going to be, until someday it's not even going to be appealing anymore. So we need to guard against that. We need to always keep it in the forefront of our minds. Hey, you know, the Lord is coming back soon. And all that we see in the book of the Revelation, all that we see, this world and the heavens are going to roll up as a scroll and be remembered no more. That's the world that we cling to. That's the world that people are killing and doing all manner of vile things to hang on to. Something that's going to be temporal. Something that's going to roll up like a scroll. We see in other passages where it's just folded up like a garment and stuck in a drawer. That's what the world that we live in now. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. I'd like to... I think we got time. We can make it. If we hurry, we can make it. 46. It kind of falls in line with the same thing here as we've been looking at. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Now, I love it when they put the Selah in there, because it means to meditate on what you just read. Now, we can pick this apart, and if you think about it here, I mean, it all fits together very nicely. You know, if God is our refuge and our strength, and he is in the heavens, and he is in the kingdom to come, if this earth were to be dissolved, we would be with him. You know, the whole aspect of natural disasters, I've been reading on the web about this super volcano. Has anybody heard about this? The super volcano?
In the ocean?
No, in Yellowstone. There's some... Exactly, yeah, like 1,500 miles in every direction. You know, this is going to be this big crater, you know, if this thing were to blow up. And so, you know, they're measuring all of these things, and everybody's all worried, and everybody's trying to get safe distance. But there's no safe distance, not if you live in this area. I mean, the whole aspect of it. But understand that these things have been going on for 200 or 300 years. I mean, they have noticed these things. In fact, when Teddy Roosevelt went out there and made this a park, he was saying, man, this is just one big volcano. I mean, it's just, this thing's going to blow at any time. And it sits up on, the elevation on this thing, I believe it's 8,000, 9,000 feet. Okay, that's where the elevation of this park is. And it's up on a peak, and you got to go up to the top. But it's so full of seismic activity that it's crazy. I mean, they have all kinds of neat things to see. If you've never been there, man, you got to visit before it blows up. Because, man, it's... But they've got these... Cindy didn't like them, but they've got these pools. And all of these minerals are in it. It comes out these different colors, and they're so iridescent in their colors, and the mineral waters and stuff like that, and they smell bad, but man, they look phenomenal. In fact, when you get home, you might want to do a little image search of Yellowstone Park, and some of the geological formations that are there is just crazy. Old Faithful is there. Oh, every hour and 47 minutes, boy, this geyser comes up just like clockwork. You know, it's just kind of like, wow, this is kind of cool. You missed it, I know. Yeah, taking Laura to the bathroom, and this geyser goes up, and I said, and as soon as it got done, she's okay. When's it gonna go up? Well, in about 2 more hours. You know, I'm not sticking around for that. So, poor babe, she didn't get to see it, but you can see YouTube videos of it. I mean, it's phenomenal, and every season is a different picture of beauty that the Lord has provided for this place. But now they're saying that this place is going to be like an earthquake, or it's going to be like this super volcano. And they've been saying for years, since I've been around, that California was going to fall off into the ocean because there was going to be a giant earthquake, and, you know, all the, you know, from the San Andreas Fault all the way down into, it was all going to fall into the ocean there. So we're still waiting for that to happen. You know, there was a lot of people that bought up property along the San Andreas Fault because they thought it was going to be beachfront. They're still waiting on that one too. So, you know, don't be ashamed. You know, we don't fear if the earth is going to be removed. It's going to be a glorious time because we read farther that there's going to be new heavens and new earth for us to dwell in. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, if we can take this and just do a little bit of, if you would just indulge me just for a little bit, in the form of idioms, okay? A mountain is a model or a type of government, okay? So when you see mountains being talked about in the scripture, keep that in your mind, that it may not be talking about a physical mountain, but it may be talking about a government. You know, like when the Lord says, you know, if you have the faith, you can tell this mountain to be lifted up and cast in the midst of the sea. Is he talking about an actual mountain, or is he talking about a government? How many times have you prayed for your government? How many times have you prayed for your city or your state or things of that nature? You know, we have an opportunity to bring this country back, perhaps. You know, let's not take things out of context, such as, you know, Second Chronicles, when it talks about, you know, if my people will humble themselves and pray, and, you know, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Is he talking about the United States, or is he talking about Israel? You got to remember, what is the plan of God? What is he talking about? Okay? So, and the sea, you know, we read in the scriptures too that the Gentiles are like the troubled sea, kicking up mire and dirt and things of that nature. So, you know, take these things and go through and talk. It's talking about waters. It's talking about mountains and shaking and things like that. Well, if this government isn't being shaken up now, nothing's going to shake it up. And as you can see, it's kind of going down. But now it switches gears now from the present to, in verse 4, it says, there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, that holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And I'm glad he put that in there too, because when I read the Lord of hosts is with us, man, I can't relate. I can't relate to that. Because we're talking about we're talking about the great and awesome God. And that, you know, basically it frightens me. You know, we think about how awesome and righteous and holy this God is, and I'm not. But then he does something wonderful. He says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, there's nobody in all of scriptures, that's worse than Jacob. Jacob was a conniver. Jacob was somebody that was out for themselves. And finally, he was out connived by his uncle Laban. Okay, when he went out to fetch a bride or whatever. I mean, he's not a good character. And I'm thinking, I'm not as bad as Jacob was. Maybe. But at least we're on an equal plane. You see, I can relate to Jacob. I can relate to who Jacob is because I'm the same way. You see? And Jacob, if he's talking about, and the God of Jacob is our refuge, oh, man. So the God of TJ is our refuge. Sweet. I can relate. You see? I can get confidence through that. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the God Almighty. He is the maker of heaven and earth. But he's the God of Jacob. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. So, in the time to come when he makes those wars to cease in the millennial kingdom. But hear this, my friends, hear this. Be still and know that I am God. Man, we just need to shut up. We just need to shut up. And know that God is God. That, I mean, if we just did that instead of bringing our laundry list of complaints and, oh man, that person at work is really irritating in the way they pop their gun. You know, and the Lord says, just shut up and know that I'm God. Remember in the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter, he just didn't know what to say. And, well, maybe we should build a couple of booths for you and Elijah and Moses. And the Lord just overshadows him. Shut up. Will you just shut up? This is my beloved son. Hear him. Be still. Now, I remember when I was growing up in school. I went to Catholic school. And the nuns were, they never said shut up. They never said shut up. They always come up to you. And they get in your face very closely. And they would say, be still. Man, I'll tell you what, that was... I was as close to death as I have ever come at that particular time, man. Okay. You know, and you just go, be still. Quiet your heart. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. Be still and know that I am God. And he wants to show you personally that he is God. I can't show you that he is God. Nobody can show you he is God. Only he can do that. As you sit still and hear him, can you ever know that he is God and he has a plan? I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And if you didn't hear it the first time, the Lord repeats it. You see? And anything that is important, the Lord always repeats it over and over and over again. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of hosts, but more that you are the God of Jacob. And we take refuge in you. We thank you, Lord, for the confidence that you instill in us. Lord, you are so awesome and yet so gentle. You want us to sit before you and know that you are God. And I pray, Father, that we would do just that. That we would cease from our labors and rest in you. And Lord, just watch you work your marvelous workings in our lives. Transform us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit into the image that you would have us, the image of Jesus Christ. And that we would love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. For your honor and for your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name.